Welcome back to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
That's right. You are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box. And I have to say that I have been looking forward to this interview with all of the media frenzy over Ebola and Ebola being on the rise. Now I'm here with three lovely young ladies. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I'm just going to go around the table, have each of you introduce yourself, starting with you, Tabitha.
I'm Tabitha Smith. I am the president and founder of Truve. It is a media, PR, and events company in Houston.
All right.
My name is Yunchi Wilson. I am the co-founder and vice president of Truve.
And
I am Dr. Noreen Khan Mayberry, also known as the Tox Doc. I am an environmental, space, food, and nutritional toxicologist. So essentially, I study poisons and their effects on our body.
Oh, welcome to Access Houston. I'm so glad you all can be here. Let's get right into it. So Ebola, which has been around for a while.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. Just getting the media attention since, you know, we've had a few doctors have it and survived, you know, doing the good work that they were sworn to do by oath. And a man comes over from Liberia to a hospital in Dallas and says that he has a fever, and they send him home. And then he comes back and comes to find out that he indeed has Ebola. So first, doctor.
Yes.
What is Ebola?
Ebola is essentially, it's a group of viruses. There's more than one type of Ebola virus. But what the virus does is it's really almost a perfect virus, because what it does is it has a latency period where it's sleeping or, you know, acting within your body, but you show no outward symptoms. So you're working, you're walking, you're fine, you feel good, but then all of a sudden it gets to the point where it has, you know, taken down your immune system, and then it basically it launches its attack. So you go from feeling great one day to having a severe fever and symptoms, and it really is very severe. It overwhelms your immune system, so it gives your body, you know, a really hard time to try to fight it back.
Do we know the origin of this disease and how it came about, even though it's been around for, you know, decades over in Western Africa?
Well, it's been speculated or postulated that it comes from a number of animal sources. But again, there's a wide variety of, you know, Ebola viruses. And so there's a lot of debate back and forth. I personally, you know, what's interesting to me is that people try to, you know, get so definitive. Oh, well, it comes from this and it can't do this, or you can't catch it this way. But then, you know, they have to dial back what they say in a few weeks when, you know, the outcome changes.
So there are different sorts of Ebola.
Different strains of
this different
viral
strains
toxin,
of the virus. Mm-hmm. Kind of sort of like, I think HIV is the same way. They have different strains as well.
The thing about viruses is that they change. They evolve over time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have different strains. And that's why you have different amounts of toxic effect that you will see in the body.
Okay. Now, ladies, I understand that Truve is having a summit on Ebola. Tell the people about that and when it is, when, where, what, why, who, how do I be down?
Sure. So on November 13th, next Thursday, between 5 and 8 p.m., we will be at BBVA Compass Stadium. Dynamo is sponsoring this event, and we will be having a panel discussion. And we'll be discussing several different kind of controversial topics when it comes to the Ebola virus.
Like, such as?
Well, the idea here is that there's been a lot of speculation in the media about how it's contracted, how it spreads, and how you should protect yourself. So we wanted to bring together some professionals, a toxicologist, an epidemiologist, and as well as an infectious disease doctor, and kind of let them go at it. The concept is not just to educate the community, but as well as the doctors, give them concrete information that they can take back to their patients and the community, so that they're coming from a very educated standpoint.
Okay. Yeah. That's very informative. We definitely need that, because I personally feel that the media has done the absolute most on covering this virus. I honestly do. And, you know, a lot of times some of my coworkers and my friends are like, you know, you're always talking about the media. How dare you talk about the media the way that you do and you're in the media? I'm like, well, the difference between the way I give you the information is that I don't sensationalize it. It's not a scare tactic that I'm trying to do. I'm just giving it to you straight up, or, you know, giving my opinion. A lot of times people say that I say what they think. And mm-hmm. and that's all I'm doing. The media was doing so much with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when the two nurses had right. it, like, oh, it's an epidemic. Really? Since when did two people constitute as an epidemic?
Well, let me just say this. So it is an epidemic, but not stateside.
Not
stateside.
In America, yes.
Right. So here's the issue with that. So when I went on air and I talked about Ebola virus, again, it's a perfect virus, but what's the likelihood of us getting it here in America? It's next to impossible. We are not working with these patients directly. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you go over there and you possibly can contract the disease, there is a way that you can potentially bring it back. Now, the cases that have shown up here, it was from someone who had the disease from that country, not a healthcare worker. He came over here. He was misdiagnosed initially. So where the problem comes in is when, you know, you've got professionals saying, well, you can't get it through intact skin. Well, then now, you know, a few weeks later, they're saying, well, that may not necessarily be the case. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. The nurses who worked with this patient, they didn't go in there with their skin cut open.
Right.
Okay. They did not pour the man's bodily fluids all over them, but there was a breach in their suit, which allowed them to get exposure. Again, because it is highly contagious, you have to take extreme precautions. We weren't ready. And so as the tox doc, I always try to be truthful with people. There are gaps in knowledge. There will always be gaps in knowledge. So don't come out with a definitive statement saying you absolutely cannot get it this way if you don't know. Just mm-hmm. tell them, look, there are things we don't know, but you're probably not going to get it. You know, I'm not walking around worried about catching Ebola.
Right.
Shouldn't be either.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, people are going around there buying masks mm-hmm. and they're, you know, buying gloves
and blinged out masks
and all of this, you know, protective gear to try to not catch Ebola. But yet HIV and AIDS has been around for 30 plus years and people are still, you know, raw dogging it or, you know, not yeah. using a condom. Excuse my blunt, mm-hmm. you know, it's language. True. I'm, you know, so I'm like, miss me with all of this. Oh, I'm not trying to catch Ebola. How about you find out what your HIV status is?
Well, let me tell you what I was told about that. I'd rather catch AIDS virus than Ebola virus because Ebola virus will kill you immediately. But you can live for years with the AIDS virus, which technically that's true. So mm-hmm. I get that. But again, you know, the fact is you're probably not going to get Ebola living and working in the United States. I mean, it is not an epidemic here, you know,
yes.
And so that is what's key.
And that was the point that I was trying to drive mm-hmm. home. I do these videos on 97.9 The Box, Magic 102, called Smooth on the Move. And it's me out in the streets getting people's opinion on current events. And Ebola was one of my topics. And, you know, and I was asking the people about that. And they were like, well, you know, you got the elder saying, well, you know, the government, they don't tell us everything now, you know. So we don't know, you know, what it is. And I'm like, man, you don't have to worry. You know, mm-hmm. people were saying that they weren't going to get on a plane this holiday season and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that you all are having, Truve is having this summit to kind of debunk a lot of the rumors and speculations about it. Yes, Tabitha?
Yes, so we were actually privileged enough to be a part of the press conference at City of Houston. Mm-hmm. And City of Houston is actually supporting this event as well. We have their
she is a Bureau Chief Kirsten Short mm-hmm. for Public Health Preparedness. We've been in talks with him for some time. And Dr. Purse, he is the head over all of the public health emergency preparedness for the city of Houston. And that's the press conference that Tabitha's referring to. So that's where we got a chance to meet him. And we really wanted to get a hold of him for this event, because I think that the more that people see that their government is involved, mm-hmm. and they are talking about what's really going on, what you really should be concerned about, what you should not be, a lot of the conspiracy, a lot of the ideas that they've created in their own mind will disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And it's this Thursday, November 13th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Can't wait. I will be there.
Awesome.
And send me your questions at Dr. Noreen on Twitter. I'd love to hear what you want to hear about.
And you can RSVP at Truver. It's ATRUVER.com/MedMix.
Say it one more time.
ATRUVER.com/MedMix.
Okay. Now, are you is Truver involved in the medical community in any way, or how your main affiliate?
We actually bridge a lot of the different organizations together.
Mm-hmm.
So we do we're very involved in the city mm-hmm. of Houston and very active. And so what we do is the entire company is based on bridging people together and making connections for people.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you, doctor, if mm-hmm. let's say you were, in charge of a certain medical board, or how would you had went about the training or the informing other physicians and nurses about this virus and the proper way to just go about handling the whole situation? Because we could see, it was total debacle with, how it was handled initially.
Throughout the medical community, we've always had an issue with people washing their hands and taking basic precautions within hospitals. One of the leading causes of complications in hospitals is what's called nosocomial infections, an infection that you got that has nothing to do with what you went there for, mm-hmm. because there are all kinds of viruses being spread around. What I would have done is I would have gotten a good cross-section. I would have gotten infectious disease experts. I would have gotten experts in personal protective equipment. I would have gotten experts in viral toxins, someone like myself, a toxicologist. I would have gotten microbiologists involved. Because you have to have diversity in thought. You also get your ER docs. These are your first line, defenders. And if you don't get emergency medical physicians involved, then in them trained and get the nurses trained, the first line, that's when you have people getting sent home and you don't have the right, information out there. You needed to have had a list of, okay, if someone comes in with these symptoms and they're coming from another country, let's not just blow that off as maybe the flu. Let's make sure we take the precautions and test them. Had they done that, this situation probably would have been avoided and the nurses probably would not have contracted the Ebola virus.
Man.
But then I would have also told them, let's not make any definitive statements because we have these gaps in knowledge. Be honest with people. Say, this is what I don't know. They appreciate that over you saying, no, you can't get it this way. And then you come back and say, well, maybe you can.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all of the issues that I have with the way that people portray stuff. Fear mongering is really bad, but also overly downplaying a situation is just as dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a lot of people always trying to say, oh, it's not a big deal. Everything's a big deal. But again, one of the quickest ways to get an infection in a hospital is because people don't wash their hands. Yeah. Wash your hands, people, 30 seconds or more.
Wash your hands. It's just that simple.
Yeah. It would help us a lot. It's not that simple, but it certainly would help a lot.
Absolutely. And so, and I understand
with
that
soap.
This is going to be with soap.
Yeah. I see people with water and I'm like, all you're doing is just transferring germs and just, moving them around. Let's
kill them with some soap. Are we on tap for another serious flu season? Years?
Well, the year before, the CDC gets together and they try to make an educated guess on which strains of flu virus will be most prevalent. And because it's a guess, it's not always correct.
Yeah.
So I have talked to a few people who have gotten the flu vaccine and have, still contracted the flu. But then, I haven't heard of a big serious outbreak yet. We have seen it a little bit earlier this year, but again, I don't know. I don't know. We will see. Only time will tell. Will it be a heavy flu season or won't it?
Yeah.
You know, but again, you know, I'm not afraid of the flu virus, flu vaccine. I'm not afraid of the flu virus either, because I've survived it plenty of times.
Right.
If you get it, you will too.
Yeah, yeah. No worries there. Yeah. I actually got one for the first time in my life ever last year.
Oh.
And I didn't get the flu. It was actually the first year of my adult life that I did not get the flu. Normally, every year,
right?
Probably in for me, it's January.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, every January since I was a senior in high school, no lie.
Yeah,
it seemed like I got the flu.
And last year you got the vaccine and you didn't get the
and
flu.
And I did
virus.
Not get. I did
well,
not
isn't
get.
That something? It's amazing.
Look, what you say? Some things actually work.
Right. Isn't that nice when it works?
So speaking of a vaccine, Ebola.
Yes. Being worked on right now.
It's being worked on right now. Uh-huh. So what is it that the previous doctors who have contracted it over in Africa and even the nurses here in the United States, how were they cured of that? What was the medication there? Or is it all
proprietary, was used in the treatment of that initial doctor, because they've tried a number of types of, you know, treatment medications. So what they're trying to do is they focused in on what they think works, and they're trying to develop a vaccine. So they're looking at everything, they're testing right now, and they're trying to create it as fast as they possibly can so that they can get enough of a stockpile, not only to, you know, treat us here if it were to spread, but also to get it to other countries. You know, a lot of times people say, why should I worry about, you know, what's going on in another country, whether or not people are poor, whether they have access to clean food or water. You know, it's always their disease until it becomes our disease. So when it flies over here, you know, then it's an issue. So that's why we are a global village and we have to be concerned with everyone.
Yeah, we absolutely do. But I want the media to tone it down. And they kind of have here
in
the past week. There was a hilarious video I saw on YouTube. It was some comedian over in London, and he was comparing how the media over in the UK, the news organizations there, how they covered Ebola versus the United States, America's media coverage.
Well,
of
especially if you're
Ebola.
In Houston when it's three hours down the road.
You know, that's true. And so it was like night and day, you know, over there, you know, they're all calling, you know, the light is on the Ebola virus, you know, two more Americans have the, I do a terrible British accent, but you know, you get it. And then, and it's very calm, but serious, straight to the point, you know, and then he goes over here and, you know, it's Fox News, MSNBC, ABC News, and, you know, all of them. Oh, Ebola's on the rise. Everybody, you know, run for the hills. It's coming to get you. You're going to die trying.
Those are cultural differences. I mean, you know, the British are very, very polite. And as Americans, we're straight shooters. So, of course, we're going to cover it differently.
You know, this is honesty hour. I thought it was propaganda. I mean, I really thought a lot of the coverage was propaganda. Besides the discussion panel that Truve is going to have on Thursday, what other things can we look forward to at this summit? Because I'm sure with the experts that are going to be on there, it's going to be some interesting conversation. Anything else that we're going to tackle? It'll be all about that.
What we're trying to do, these events will be monthly, MedMix.
Oh,
and
nice.
So we're going to skip December just because it's the holiday season. Everybody should be with their family.
Oh, you guys are going to be my new friends.
Absolutely. So this specifically, we thought Ebola was just very timely because of everyone is still scared of it. They're like, oh, I'm not traveling. I'm not going to go see grandma in Wyoming or whatever. You know, we want to kind of put the kibosh on that. And then in January, we're going to be focusing on breast cancer, but not the way that it's usually covered in October. And I'm, you know, I am a big fan of, you know, helping causes, donating money. But the reality is there have been millions of dollars donated to breast cancer. Where's the cure? Are we any closer to it? What is going on?
Yeah.
So we want to bring together panelists for, you see, we kind of like to cover controversial topics.
Sure. And that's a great question, because I have raised that exact same questions. The millions, if not billions of dollars over the years, over the decades that have been raised for breast cancer research, or just cancer, period.
Yeah, right.
You know, where is this money? That is an excellent, excellent question. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to be good friends. Make sure that I get all of the summits up on there. So what are you all's personal take? I want to know what you two think about how Ebola has been covered in your, I mean, if you feel comfortable enough or not, unless, you know.
I it's interesting. I've been in marketing and PR for well over a decade now. And I have been in various corporations and done things from entertainment all the way to technology. And the one thing that I personally can't stand is the, like Noreen was covering, a lot of the fear-mongering. I mm-hmm. think that things are done for ratings oftentimes. They're done to gain attention and attraction, and it's not fair because those who are not knowledgeable tend to lean on the things that they don't know.
Yeah.
And then you have people who sit in their best thinking, and if you don't, they don't have any other information to go off of, they simply will do just that. They will sit in their best thinking. And I feel that it is our public responsibility to do something different, to actually, if we have the knowledge, if we have the facts, if we have people who are willing to come out, speak about these events, actually be truthful about the things that are going on, that we should do that. Mm-hmm. I don't care for the way that it's been covered. Having lived in Europe myself, I think that I would like it to be a little bit more toned down and some more reality brought to the table personally.
Mm-hmm. That's a philosophical discussion.
That is a very philosophical discussion. And it's unfortunate because my nephew was actually in the hospital for a week with an unknown virus.
Mm-hmm.
And they took his blood. He had a fever for 104 for 7 days straight. So everyone was freaked out. No one was allowed into his room. All the doctors kept coming in and out with masks. They weren't sure if it was Ebola or enterovirus or what. Ended up just being a bacterial infection. And he's only 3.
Mm.
So that's just a good example of just that miscommunication of knowledge, you know, and that's, had we been better prepared, more information brought about, had the staff been better prepared, we would not have been so scared.
Yes.
So.
Nice. Yeah. Tabitha, yes.
So actually, Yanchi called me this morning and she said, well, how honest do we want to be on this show?
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and forth deciding, you know, are we really going to say how we feel? And I think that really we've actually had people that are a little scared of this. Mm-hmm. They're a little scared of us even to talk about it and for even people to find out the truth. Some of the emails we've been getting back, they're asking, well, what exactly are you going to cover? How exactly are you going to cover this? So it's been a little touchy situation, and I'm excited about it, though. I think
that piques my curiosity as to why they would be so concerned about how far you all are going to go in informing the general public about something that they have mustered up as being so serious and on the rise, you know, coming up in this
controlling the message. Controlling the message. You know, again, because so many people made definitive statements where they shouldn't have. You know, they want to make sure that, you know, hey, what are you going to talk about? Because maybe it might contradict what they're saying. So a lot of people don't want to be contradicted because, you know, some people are very, you know, they don't like to admit when they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but we can all be wrong. We can all, and it's okay to be wrong. And I think that's a bigger issue that we have in the media, is that when someone admits that they're wrong, we attack them and we try to bury them, as opposed to saying, oh, okay, this person was an adult enough to admit that they were wrong, that they made a mistake, and that they don't know what's going on. Again, up front, when you don't know, it's better to be honest than it, you know, to make a guess and hope that you're correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to a disease.
Yeah.
Again, very, very strong, easy to catch virus. Are you going to catch it in the United States? Highly unlikely. You know, as a toxicologist, we look at how toxic something is. And then we weigh that and balance it out with the likelihood of you actually obtaining it. You know, just because you consume or breathe in something that's toxic, if your body doesn't absorb it, mm-hmm. all it's basically done is taken a ride through your, internal organs and mm-hmm. internal system, and just it's left. Yeah. So, I mean, it hasn't been toxic to you. It has to get to the site of toxic action, the site of toxicity. It has to actually cause some damage in order for it to be toxic.
Wow. Okay. So when it comes to the whole 21 day being mm-hmm. quarantined and all of that here, I think this past week or maybe late last week, the other nurse who mm-hmm. was told to stay in her house, she's like, forget this, I'm going bike riding. Like, what? I feel fine. Are all of those, are these the correct way to do it? Are they overdoing it? Are they underdoing it? Or is this the protocol for one who may
medical
have
professionals
it?
Are not making these calls. And that's what's key. Medical professionals are not saying isolate these people in their homes for 21 days.
That's a long time.
These are politicians in those states that said quarantine her. And I understand being precautious. You rather be safe than sorry.
Sure.
Because if it was something that was highly virulent and she was, you know, out there spreading it, because people are saying, hey, maybe you can spread it when you're not showing symptoms. Because before they said, no, as long as you're not showing symptoms, you're not going to be able to transmit it.
Right.
I personally do not believe that. But again, that being saying, that latency period, it's a range from 3 to now 45 days. So what's up with 21 days? Why pick 21 days? So, you know, again, there's no science. There's no actual, you know, proof behind that. Let's keep them quarantined for 21 days. It was just based on the initial statement, 3 to 21 days. Let's go with the max. Mm-hmm. So now that it's been changed to 45, are we going to change that to, you know, the quarantine time, 45 days?
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, again, there are gaps in knowledge. People have to be honest about it. And again, you would do yourself so much more of a favor if you washed your hands when you went to the bathrooms, if you, you know, with soap, like I said, if you didn't hug and kiss everybody that you met, if you didn't store as many chemicals in your home that were leaching out into air quality space. There's so many other things that we can be concerned and worried about. I mean, cross-contamination is easy. That's why we all get colds. Yeah. It happens all the time. We know how easy it is to transmit a virus. But again, let's be honest. Let's not scare people. And let's realize that the likelihood of us getting Ebola here in the United States is low.
And there is an incredible event that is happening on Thursday, the 13th. MedMix, Ebola Breakout, Debunking the Myths. This Thursday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at BBVA Compass Stadium. Man, I cannot wait. Ladies of Truve, thank you all for coming through. Yonchi, Tabitha, and to you, Dr. Khan Mayberry. This has been a lot of fun, very informative. Any last words?
I do have one last thing. So yes. It is free. It is a free event.
It's free $99.
It is free to attend. And additionally, if you can't be there, or even if you are there, we will be live tweeting. It will be shown on the screen. So it will be hashtag MedMix. You'll see everyone tweeting constantly, and we are even going to do a couple of Twitter contests on that. But you'll be able to follow what's happening and follow the stories the entire time.
So are there any other events that are going on that you all are involved in?
Well, I am actually an emissary co-lead for the Aga Khan Foundation's partnership walk/run that will be held November 15th at Sam Houston Park.
So that's Saturday.
That is Saturday.
And that is a huge event. Thousands of people come out. The greatest thing about the foundation is that every dollar donated goes directly to helping end global poverty.
Oh, nice.
There are no administrative costs whatsoever. And actually on this, we have 8 emissaries, and Dr. Noreen happens to be one of our emissaries. So she's campaigning to raise the most money, raise awareness, and also get a ton of people to sign up for the run and walk.
Please sign up to walk on my team. It is free to sign up to walk. go to facebook.com/Dr. Noreen, DocTorNoreen. And I only have a few hours left to raise funds. And, you know, any donation counts. I mean, $25 will pay for a week's teacher's salary, you know, in Africa. And it is just so critically important to understand that this is the only organization I've ever worked with where all operational costs are already paid for.
All
of your donation goes directly towards helping impact and end global poverty. As a toxicologist or the tox doc, what's critically important to me about this is that about 4 million people die annually because they don't have access to clean water. So you've got people getting waterborne diseases and they are dying every single year just because they don't have access to clean water. There are people who have to walk miles to get a couple of gallons of water. As a toxicologist, this is unacceptable. So if we can get technology over there to help these people become self-sustaining, you know, these people are just like all of us. They're just like us. We could be in that situation.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to take the technology that we have over here, take it over around the world and help impact global poverty. You know, it's like I said earlier, you know, it's their problem until it becomes our problem.
Absolutely.
And, you know, anything that can happen over there can come stateside through a plane ride. So let's care for each other like we're supposed to, and let's sign up to walk. It's an easy 5K. Anybody can do that, okay? Sam Houston Park, next Saturday, we've got a Global Village Interactive.
This Saturday?
Yeah, the 15th.
This Saturday,
yeah,
the 15th.
Yeah. So, you know, kids are going to come out, and they're, and even parents, you know, that Interactive Village, they're going to love it. It's absolutely amazing. Lots of activities, lots of food, fellowship, so much fun, and you're impacting global poverty. And I couldn't be more proud to be an emissary, one of the first emissaries chosen, you know, for the AKF. It's Partnerships in Action Southwest. It's part of Partnership Month, and it is, you know, sponsored by the City of Houston. And Marinese Parker actually is the chair of the event, so she's going to kick off the walk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So make sure you log on to facebook.com/Dr. Noreen. That's DocTorNoreen. So
yes.
She can get that money.
That's right.
It's not
going to me.
There's nothing too big or too small. You would
$25. I would like at least $25 if you could. But again, no donation is too small. You know, go to my link, you know, follow me at Twitter at Dr. Noreen. I have the link up there as well. You know, I just want to be able to impact global poverty because there's no reason that, you know, people should not have access to basic necessities.
Well, I would love to have you all back so we can talk about that and any other things that you have. The lovely ladies of Truve, thank you all, Miss Yunchi Smith and Miss Yunchi Wilson, I'm sorry, and Tabitha Smith.
Thank you.
And of course you, Dr. Khan Mayberry. The event is MedMix Ebola outbreak. Oh, wait, one more thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I also wanted to let you guys know that we're introducing a new foundation to the Houston area.
Oh, really?
It is Le Jardin de Nicole.
Oh, do I have an exclusive?
Yes, you do. Nicole's Garden Foundation. Go to nicolesgarden.org. And we're having a free kickoff event December 9th at the Mark. All you need to do is to RSVP to info@nicolesgarden.org. Also, like our new Facebook page, facebook.com/Nicole's Garden Foundation. Okay. And what we're doing is we're taking alternative ways to garden and bringing them to areas where you don't have a lot of green space. Mm. Let's say you live in a very cramped apartment or housing project and you don't have a lot of green space around you, but you want access to fresh food and you want it to not be so expensive. You know, you go to the store, these organic you know, vegetables, they're expensive.
Yeah.
But if we can teach you how to, you know, do a little container garden in your home or a little hydroponic garden, you can grow it yourself. It grows fast, easily. It's cheap and it's healthy.
And it's saving you money.
Exactly. So we're looking for volunteers. We have a garden ambassadors program. Again, we want to introduce Nicole's Garden Foundation. It's in memory of my mother who taught me all about, you know, eating positively, eating fresh foods, not eating preservatives. It just basically set me on a path. You know, as a kid, I was frustrated when I couldn't eat all of the junky colored food.
Right, right.
But now I realize, you know, she knew what she was talking about. So I'm honoring her. And I am also trying to impact the health of people around the city. We want to partner with all of you who have community gardens as well. And with schools, we can get a garden in your classroom.
That is absolutely awesome. Yeah. We're going to come back. You all are going to come back, and we're going to talk about everything that is going on. You guys are amazing, trying to make a difference. It starts right here at home, but making a difference around the world, man. You know, I always say, and there's a quote from back in the civil rights movement, be the change that you want to see.
That's right.
You have to be the change, not wait for it to change.
Absolutely.
Yes. So once again, thank you, ladies, for coming through. And we will see you Thursday at BBVA Compass Stadium for MedMix Ebola Breakout, Debunking the Myths. Can't wait for it. So thank you all once again.
Thank you.
You're listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.